Intro and outro music for this program was provided by musician Corey A.G. at www.coreyagmusic.tk. His SoundCloud is Corey A.G.1. Hello, listeners. This is Dane Tipman in the KCIW studio, and today we are going to learn about Pokemon Go. Here with me is Alea Lynn, who leads a Facebook neighborhood watch group, and Akima, her best friend, and they are both longtime Pokemon fans. Hello, ladies, and welcome to the studio.
Hello.
Hello.
What is Pokemon Go?
Well, Pokemon Go is a augmented reality game, which means you can take your phone and point around the room and you can see the Pokemon in their world. You can throw Pokeballs and catch them and collect them. Eventually, you'll be able to battle other players and get good points, and it is a very interactive game for everybody.
It's also a game that we've been hearing about in the news quite a bit. It's caught a lot of interest because people are going out in public and playing this game. That's one of the big features. But Pokemon has a longer history than that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Pokemon started back in the 1990s. I happen to be a 90s kid. Yeah. It originally started as a manga, if you really want to go further back.
And what is a manga?
It's basically a comic book, but created in Japan, and you read it backwards.
Oh, wow.
Then eventually, once they created that, they created the TV show. Mm-hmm. I remember being a little girl, and the moment I heard the theme song, I would be run into that TV, and I'd see all these new creatures. I'd see a whole relationship in between these characters become created, and like a whole adventure for you as a kid. Before I knew it, they came out with a game,
mm-hmm.
and it was Pokemon Red for the Game Boy. And the Game Boy was like in the shape of a brick. It was really heavy, but I loved getting it.
And the Game Boy was a mobile gaming device made by Nintendo, isn't that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And you also mentioned creatures on the show. I understand that Pokemon actually means, or is short for, pocket monsters. Is that right, too, or is that...
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, they're when you catch them, they go into these little capsule-like balls that actually have been theorized to send them into like this different digital world where they're comfortable and kind of just stay relaxed until you call for them as you throw the ball and you catch more, and then you go and you battle other people. It's kind of like a collection thing. It all started when the creator of Pokemon, I can't remember his name, but the creator of Pokemon, who actually has Asperger's syndrome, he had the fondness of catching bugs. So he would love catching bugs and kind of watch them and then release them and, you know, collect them over time. Mm-hmm. And eventually he came up with the whole idea of Pokemon and catching them, creating friends while you share these different creatures, and even creating bonds with these creatures.
Well, it sounds like it was a natural progression from a handheld Nintendo Game Boy game to coming to the smartphones.
Yeah.
And is Pokemon Go pretty different from the old games?
Kind of. It's in this world, you can't battle other people because they haven't created that yet, but they are saying you will. And what's nice is
you'll actually battle other people.
Yeah, like you'll be in an area and you'll get a notification that someone wants to battle you, and you get to see how strong each other's Pokemon is, and basically even make a whole new friendship. You'll get some good points and stuff, and
and hopefully eventually be able to trade, and then you can get even more friendships. It's like, hey, you level up this Pokemon, and I'll level up this one since I have it. We could trade eventually.
To learn a little bit more about Pokemon Go and how it works, you mentioned augmented reality earlier. And how does that work with your smartphone? What does that look like?
It is, well, my phone sadly doesn't do it, but on a phone that works is your camera will point to whatever you're pointing at in the room or wherever you are, and it will generate a Pokemon there, and the Pokemon will actually be standing on, like, the sidewalk as you move your screen. Eventually, there will be a wristband that will sense how fast you move your arm, and you can actually throw the ball yourself and... catch it, and that's why they created it, so you can see your ball that you actually threw bounce off and catch the Pokemon.
So through your phone or tablet's camera, you actually see the real world with a character overlaid on it.
Yeah.
I see. And what kind of a phone do you need to be able to play the game?
You need either an Android that has 4.4 operating system or higher, or you need a Apple phone, which I don't know what operating system you need, but preferably maybe 10.8 or higher.
Hmm. And is it true that your phone uses GPS to play the game?
Yes, it does.
What does that look like?
You'll see your character walk around on the map of the area, and then eventually either a Pokemon will pop up on the map and you tap on it to catch it, or you'll walk by this blue thing that pops up and it turns into like a little spinning Pokeball, and that's your Pokestop.
A Pokestop. Okay, so what is a Pokestop?
A Pokestop is a place where you can kind of like gather materials as you go along, and you just tap on it and you make it spin around in a circle, and it'll give you Pokeballs, it'll give you potions, it'll give you a bunch of stuff to keep you going as a player so you don't have to keep buying stuff.
But these aren't real items, is that right?
No, no.
Do you get any real items at a Pokestop?
Basically, the items you need to catch Pokemon and heal them and everything, but no, you don't get physical, real-life items unless someone's cool and they set up a lemonade stand full of waters and stuff and cookies.
Who knows where a Pokestop is located?
There are usually a bunch around the most historic areas of your town, such as a mural or a piece of artwork on the side of the road. Churches have them in front of churches and in front of sometimes graveyards or nearby them and a bunch of other places.
How are these locations chosen?
Technically, they were chosen by the game that the company Niantic, who created Pokemon Go, they created a game called Ingress. And Ingress used to be, I haven't personally played it, but I have people who are friends who have.
Mm-hmm.
You go around and you can basically claim different spots, and it's kind of like a game where you'll go around and kind of battle each other for a spot, and you get a bunch of points and stuff. And as far as I know, there's a storyline. I wish I knew more of it. But I actually have had a few friends come up to me who play the game and tell me, hey, there's Pokemon players who are kind of making issues here for us.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is because they generated those Pokestops off of their original map of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's more Pokemon players in that area. And when an Ingress player wants to go play, usually the Ingress players are respectful of the area and stuff. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. because Pokemon's so popular, there's usually a lot of people there. There has been some issues where people have been disrespectful to Ingress players or disrespectful to the area,
mm-hmm.
Going after hours when an area is closed, or leaving trash around and stuff like that, to the point Ingress players are actually worried that the company will do away with that game.
With their game, Ingress, you mean?
Yeah.
But they're probably not going to get rid of Pokemon Go since it's been pretty successful.
Yeah, it's been very successful. But these people, these friends of mine have mentioned, you know, how much nicer it would be if Pokemon players tried to respect a little more, not only for them, but for, you know, park owners and different areas such as businesses and places on the side of the road respect mm-hmm. that area so they don't get removed and other players can't play, even if you are a Pokemon player or an Ingress player.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk more about the people who play Pokemon Go. Who plays this game?
What's nice is, even though back in the 90s, it was mostly just 90s kids and
mm-hmm.
kids growing up around their older sisters or brothers playing the game, it was mainly just people in between their 20s to their, like, teenage years playing. But because Pokemon Go came out, next thing you knew, there was more people of, like, all ages playing, from little kids to senior citizens. And
senior citizens play Pokemon Go?
Yep. There is a nursing home. I think there's a few of them who are doing this too, but mm-hmm. I read an article about a nursing home that will have their caregivers walk around with them, push them in a wheelchair, or just get them walking, and they'll hold the phone and they'll let them catch Pokemon. They'll let them go and walk around the area, walk around the block, and more senior citizens are able to get more exercise this way and interact with their workers.
Oh, wow.
And be able to call home to their grandchildren and tell them about what Pokemon they caught.
How old do you have to be to play this game? You mentioned some young kids play.
You can be any age. I do prefer, if you're, like, under the age of, like, 12, definitely go with an adult or an older sibling.
Uh-huh.
Because walking the streets alone day or night is actually pretty dangerous.
No matter what you're doing, I think people would probably agree. Yeah.
There has been some issues where some creepy people downloaded the game and they'll set up lures, which is in the game, it will make Pokemon pop up at that specific spot, and anyone around can catch that Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll set up a lure at like a park or a place where kids are at.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're walking around there alone, that's very dangerous to do. And you can end up probably kidnapped or something. So definitely, no matter what time of the day or night, if you're under 12 years old or even 13 years old,
mm-hmm.
go with somebody or go with a group of people. Never mm-hmm. do it alone.
So for our parents who are listening or grandparents who have children that are playing this game, your recommendation is that they go out in groups or go with someone that they trust?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, just because there's dangers out there doesn't mean they shouldn't play. It's really good for their health. I have talked to many people online asking how they've done with their health.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't even stopped at physical health. It's been mental health, too.
How so?
People who suffer from anxiety, social anxiety, even just people who can't leave their house because they're just so scared.
Mm-hmm. Depression.
Depression. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to leave their homes, and usually they stay in. Well, because of the game, it kind of forces you to leave your house, even if you're in your car, and go to these public areas, and you end up meeting. Mm-hmm. You end up meeting all these new people that are playing too, and next thing you know, you have this whole group of people around you. Oh, did you catch this Pokemon? Oh, I caught this Pokemon over here. And you kind of create like this whole social thing, and it brings you kind of out of your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
but it's in a nice way. It's in kind of your own pace, but yet kind of not.
You can also bring your pets, dogs, get more bonding in with your dogs, bring them to the park, and they get exercise too, and they're happy to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you can bring your pets.
Long as the park allows pets.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
But there has been different pounds, and I wish the pounds around here did this, because this would actually help, where they would open up a day where people can come and volunteer to walk their dog to play Pokemon Go for a few hours if they don't have their own dog or can't have their own dog. This gives the dog interaction, it gives the dog, you know, exercise, and mm-hmm. as they're walking around, you know, maybe put like a thing on them saying that they're up for adoption so other people can see this cute dog and adopt them. It has brought so much more success to different pounds as more dogs are actually becoming adopted because people are creating bonds with them, or people are seeing someone walk this dog and say, oh, I want that dog, and actually getting more pound dogs than breeded dogs.
I happen to know that our own Brookings South Coast Humane Society does let guests walk dogs that are pretty social and that are able to be walked.
Yeah.
Some of the dogs that are still in training at their shelter may not be able to be walked, but I know they have something like that. It's not specific for Pokemon Go,
mm-hmm.
but if a player out there, really anywhere in the world, is interested, if they, you know, make a call and ask, I'll bet that's something that they could do that could help get a little bit of exercise and get some animals out there, help the animal get some exercise, help the animal learn how to socialize a little bit if that's what they need.
Yeah. Mm. I think if they actually, that's a good idea, but it also, if they actually advertise it as, hey, Pokemon players, come walk our dogs, they will end up having probably a whole line of people come and want to walk the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's brought great things. I know there's been a lot of things out there where there's been some bad, and a lot of people, you know, focus more on the bad than what good is out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in a time right now where people are so against policemen, and my first day of playing Pokemon Go, I went to a popular spot in my town, which is on Front Street in Crescent City,
mm-hmm.
and I saw paramedics on their break playing with a huge group of people. I saw people of all ages listening to music, enjoying each other's company, and the best part was there was a cop that rolled up mm-hmm. and was playing with everyone, and everyone gathered around him, and we were all talking and having a great time. And the policemen in our town actually will drive by there every now and then and check up on us, or mm-hmm. on their break just come and play with us.
Firefighters will also do it too.
Yeah, the firefighters, paramedics of all sorts will come and play with us, make sure we're were being good and not getting into stuff. And everyone's pretty respectful around each other.
Well, one of the ways that you've been leading this small community is that you are the administrator of this Facebook Neighborhood Watch group. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yes, because there are a lot of people out there who are nervous about, you know, their kids walking around playing or about a lot of the thefts and break-ins and a lot of the crazy things that's been happening around Curry County and Delnart County lately. I came up with the idea of creating kind of a neighborhood watch, but for Pokemon Go players. Pokemon Go players standardly will play pretty much all times of the day. And they'll be out even till like 5 in the morning playing.
Oh boy.
Which means they'll be walking down the road. Usually we're pretty quiet, but it'll usually be a group of people. So I decided to take this idea of we're already out there. Why don't we schedule something where we all go out as a group, choose different areas to go, just play the game together, and if we notice something, call it in. Coincidentally, the first day that I created that thing with a friend of mine named Mitch, some members of mine were walking nearby Smith River School in Smith River, and they started smelling burning. Next thing you know, they turned the corner, and there was a brush fire that started next to the school. This was almost at 3 in the morning, so everyone's asleep. And if they didn't call it in, the fire would have reached inside the building. The most damage it had was some scarring on the outside. So just within the first 24 hours of creating this group, there was already people out and saying, hey, there's this, there's that.
Oh, I didn't know that your group was involved in that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Also, I have spoken to a policeman, and I was telling him about the group I created, and he said, that's actually a great idea, because ever since Pokemon Go's came out, they are constantly waved down by people to tell them, who are Pokemon Go players, to tell them, hey, there's this guy over here doing this. Hey, keep an eye on this person. And they've been a little more on top of things because there's more eyes out there.
For our listeners, I'll include a link to the article, or at least a few articles about that fire down at the Smith River School. So who leads this neighborhood watch group with you?
It is me and my admin, my co-admin, Mitch Gearhart.
Okay.
I ended up coming up with the idea of the group and posted it in a bunch of local groups, like the idea, and see if people were interested. Mitch actually was the first one who commented and came up with some really good ideas. In turn, I asked him, hey, do you want to help me create this group? He said yes, and before we knew it, we were starting something new, and it turned into something pretty cool. Another way that Pokemon brought people back, including in the 90s, was I remember being young during a time where there was a lot of bullying, but no one really did much about it. Pokemon came out, and I went to school one day. I had my Pokemon game. I had my Pokemon cards. And recess came about, and I walk out, and there are patches of children playing the Pokemon trading card or playing Pokemon together, getting excited when they catch something. And before I know it, when I sat down to play with my own game, a group of people ended up coming around and playing with me, and they ended up becoming my friends. And I like to think that Pokemon Go created the same thing, because before you know it, you show up and you're outdoors, you're at the public park, and there are groups of adults who probably would have been kids back then doing the same thing, but it doesn't stop there either. I look over and Kidstown is filled with kids and their parents. They're just, the parents are playing a game, but they're not putting, you know, they're not putting the game in front of their kid. They're also playing with their kids, or they put their phone down to push the kid on the swing and just be outside. I walk down the strip, down the beach, and there was people, just a group of people, young, old, young, and like, you know, in between, just enjoying the side of the beach and celebrating and jumping up and down when they caught something. I coincidentally caught a seal, which is a sea lion Pokemon, at the Marine Center as a seal was looking at me.
The Crescent City Marine Center?
That's another thing. A lot of people have been going to the Marine Center, and hopefully that will do some good for them. Maybe more people will be willing to donate, or even, you know, try to just help the workers or something. I don't know.
But Pokemon has always brought people together. There may have been a time frame in their games where they, you know, people kind of just played indoors. I think that happened to be when you could just go online and battle people. But there is a time where the only way you can battle a friend was you had to meet up with them in person and use a cord and connect your game systems together to battle each other. And that's what I like to think this game does now, is you actually have to go out and do the same thing. And it brings people together, and everyone has a childhood with it. And whether people like it or not, these younger kids that are growing up through this time of Pokemon are going to have a childhood with it too. And Pokemon's going to be around for a really, really long time, because they'll remember the days that they were on the playground playing Pokemon.
Clearly it's shown its staying power in your life.
Something also that we should probably clarify for people that don't really know much about Pokemon is, in the Pokemon Go, we're not battling over one Pokemon. When a Pokemon spawns in an area, everybody is free to catch it. It's not a first come, first serve. So there's no fighting about that. And again, you know, a lot of people will start mentioning, this Pokemon's over here, and really helping each other out.
Yeah, I remember the first day I went out to play Pokemon, and there was a Pikachu in the area, and everyone was really excited, and a group of like 20 people went running one direction because someone found a Pokemon down there, and people were high-fiving each other when they actually caught it, and be like, yay, we caught it, and then people like tapping each other on the shoulder when the Pokemon ran away and they couldn't catch it. It was a nice environment.
So can two people see the same Pokemon in this augmented reality world?
Yep. And what's fun is, if you have your augmented reality turned on, you can kind of generally see it wherever you're standing. It doesn't always pop up in the same place on each phone. But I don't have mine turned on because my phone isn't that fancy. So if your augmented reality doesn't work in the game, it generates a background that has like wind blowing trees and a lot of cool background stuff, and it senses when it's day and night, which is pretty cool.
So you can turn the augmented reality off and not see the real world, and then you see an animated background.
Yeah.
Doesn't that background also change depending on where you are and what time it is, too?
Yeah. When it gets a little closer to night, it'll, like, go darker, and then it'll turn to nighttime. And it doesn't totally change the background, but, like, what I notice is sometimes when it's a little more windier, you'll see the leaves in the background kind of shake a little more.
Oh.
Because pretty soon, those wristbands will be sensing how fast the wind is going by Google Weather, I believe, because Google helps with this. And it'll also affect how your ball is thrown. And if it's like really windy going to the right side, your ball's going to go a little more to the right.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be pretty cool. I can't wait to get my own wristband.
So these wristbands, could you tell me a little bit more about them?
Yeah, they kind of are shaped like a Pokeball, but on Google Maps, you know, the little pin thing, they're shaped like that, but they have a Pokeball on it.
And we'll include an image of a Pokeball in our article as well, but just for our viewers, could you describe what a Pokeball looks like?
It's round, and the top half is red, and the bottom half is white, and then it has the opening in the middle, which is usually like a black strip, and then a white button in the middle that you tap, and it pops open.
That's a perfect description.
But yeah, these wristbands are pretty neat.
Who's selling the wristbands?
I believe on Pokemon Go's official website, you can get them there. Right now, they are released, but they are kind of in high demand, and they're kind of spendy right now, so I'm going to wait a bit till the price goes down.
How much do they cost?
I haven't looked, but I'm guessing it's going to be in the $50 to $100 range, including with how big this game is right now. When the price hopefully goes down, the wristbands will come in so much more use compared to how we play the game now. Right now, we play the game by kind of walking around and people kind of stare at their phones, which is not safe. The wristbands will kind of take you away from that, where you can have your phone in your pocket, which will save battery too. And when a Pokemon is nearby, it's supposed to buzz or light up on your wrist, and then you can take your phone out and see where it is. It also will help with the tracking system for GPS, because you can link it through Bluetooth, so it'll figure out what device you're using and then go off of that GPS and such.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit more about Pokestops?
Yeah, Pokestops are kind of like based in different highlights of your city.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like, let's say there's a popular mural somewhere that an artist painted a long time ago. That'll be a Pokestop, which will make people actually physically go there and catch something or just get their supplies. And because they're there, usually people kind of stop and admire that and go, oh, that's cool. Or some people have actually discovered some part of their cities that they didn't even know about that had some beautiful areas.
And these are locations that came from Ingress, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Because that was their whole point of Ingress, is they wanted people to go out there and kind of experience their areas. And also, they also put it in front of churches, which, so it's a 50-50 with churches. Some churches don't like the extra people coming or kind of being out there. Other churches are actually pretty laid back about it and think it's really cool that young people actually are coming there. And mm-hmm. some people may even stop inside if you know, they feel that church might be something new for them to experience. Hmm. And it draws a little more people to those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pokestop itself actually shows you a picture of what it is that is being captivated or why you should go there, the highlight.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And a name of the location, too, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For instance, is Kidstown here in Brookings, is that a Pokestop?
Yes, it is.
What kinds of behaviors do you encourage in the members of your group and just any players out there when they're at these Pokestops?
To be respectful, kind of to everyone around you. I know that there are a lot of, usually at night, there are a lot of Pokemon players who will go out there and kind of just hang out. Sometimes there has been incidents where we've been a little too loud across the street, because I go hang out by the pool a lot. Across the street is like a whole complex building of elderly people who have, you know, mentioned, hey, they're kind of being a little loud over there.
Mm.
Since then, we've quieted down. Mm. But just be respectful, including at night, because people are sleeping. Be respectful to wherever you're hanging out. Don't leave trash around and don't really mess with anything around there. Just kind of stick to one area, play the game, and enjoy everyone's company.
Intermission music was created by the host, Dane Timman, using Automata from www.earslap.com.
Hey, welcome back. You are listening to an interview about Pokemon Go with me, Alea Lin, and my best friend, Akima.
What can a person do if they don't want Pokemon Go players on their property?
My suggestion would be maybe to put a sign up. What's nice about Pokemon Go is there's a lot of misinformation on Pokemon players, like coming into your backyard or going into your yard. There has been an article where a girl apparently tried to break into someone's house, catch a Pokemon. To make people feel better, the game does not work that way. How it works is you're walking down the road on a public sidewalk, and a Pokemon will appear on the screen anywhere around your character. You don't have to physically walk up to the Pokemon to catch it. You tap it and then it'll generate, even augmented reality, it'll generate where you're standing and just around you where the Pokemon is. So you can safely capture the Pokemon on the sidewalk without going in anyone's yard. But there has been some incidents where people kind of live a little off road and people are wandering around the area and kind of end up somehow there. My suggestion would maybe put a sign up and say, hey, this Pokemon players, this is private property. Please turn around. And usually people will. But if you live in like in the middle of town and you see people walking down the road or slowly driving in their car, they're usually just Pokemon players capturing something. There's no reason for them to access your home or access any part of your property.
How can you tell that they're playing the game?
Usually there's a phone in front of them, but kind of just pay attention to if they're kind of looking at something, not at your property. If they're kind of just staring at your property or kind of just slowly lingering there. Yeah, maybe suspect something there. If they're actually getting out of their vehicle to walk up and walk around the perimeter of your house, definitely call it in. Because as I mentioned before, the game does not work that way. And there's no reason anyone should be doing that.
Okay.
So yeah, if they're just sticking in their cars or staying on the side of the road, there's no reason to really worry.
Also, Pokemon are not supposed to spawn in private areas. So if you live on a private road, then you should be fine.
Yeah,
it's mostly supposed to be public areas.
Hmm.
I actually live technically on a private road. It doesn't even pop up on Google Maps. It kind of stops at a certain area.
Hmm.
Because I live there, no Pokemon pop up around me. I have to walk out of my trailer park to actually go find Pokemon.
Hmm.
Until I hit more of a public street, then I'll actually start seeing them. So anyone who lives a little off-road or kind of like not even really on a public highway and kind of in between trees and stuff, they don't really need to worry.
Okay.
Someone might accidentally wander there because they're not paying attention to what road they're going. They're just like, oh, here's a road. Let's see if Pokemon are going down there. That's kind of like unlikely. That's why I suggest maybe just putting a sign up to say, hey, there's no Pokemon that appear here. Or, and then usually they'll just turn around. Or it's a private property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But where I live, there's the baseball field, and that whole area is considered public area. But if you go a little bit further, there's the jail, and that whole area doesn't exist on the map. There is no reason for anybody to even go near there. Pokemon do not spawn there.
They actually recently did that on purpose, because the first day that Pokemon was released, they actually made jail areas public, because that's how it is in Ingress.
Mm.
Well, because of that, everyone's so excited. People were walking into jail areas, like in the front of the jailhouse, and just walking in there to catch a Pokemon, not totally knowing how the game works.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept getting people showing up to the point they actually made the game take any jail area off, like selected as private property. Mm. So I actually remember a policeman telling us, it's like, hey, don't come down to the jailhouse. You know, we're asking Pokemon players not to.
And the sheriff's station.
And the sheriff's station and stuff like that, because it was kind of an accidental thing. But it doesn't work that way anymore.
Is it possible to see other players in Pokemon Go?
No, currently there isn't. As far as I know, the only way that that will happen is when someone wants to battle you, their little avatar will pop up real quick, and you have options like yes or no, and then they'll go away.
And what is the avatar?
The avatar is like a little character that you create, and it shows you on the map where you are as you're walking. Your character will walk.
Mm-hmm.
So then when someone wants to battle you, you'll see their character and kind of see if they're across straight or kind of generally where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you battle and then they disappear.
Huh.
But if you're playing, you won't see anyone else.
When can you see, like, their name, for instance?
Currently, the only way that you can see their name is through Pokestops or gyms.
Mm-hmm.
Gyms, you can go and you can battle them. That's kind of how you people can battle right now.
Okay.
You go and you battle with a gym, and then when you win, your name will pop up with the Pokemon that you use to win it.
Hmm.
Or you can place a different Pokemon in there. That's the only way that your name will pop up, and it's your username, not your legal name or anything.
Uh-huh.
And then Pokestops, if you put down a lure, and you want to see who put down the lure, because lures are actually pretty scarce in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You can tap on it. It'll show you who generously put down a lure.
Hmm.
So, and you could probably, if you know the person, be like, oh, hey, thanks, you know.
Is it possible for someone who's creating an account to use their real name as their username in the game?
Yes, it is, but they probably have to add some numbers behind it. It really depends on what username they have, like John Doe 123. Something like that, but I don't prefer it. You know, I don't prefer anyone or suggest anyone to do that, because you need to kind of be a little private just in case there's someone in the area who you don't want to encounter and they go, oh, hey, this person put a lure down here. She may be in the area and come and bug you.
You'll probably agree that parents, if they're concerned about the game, should probably check if they have children that are playing the game, what their username is. Make sure their kids didn't use their own full name with a number or so.
Yes, I do suggest that. Good news is a recent update they allow you to change the username one last time. So if you do notice your child or, you know, accidentally put their name and then like added a number or something, you can tell them to change it to something like, I like pancakes or something crazy like that, that doesn't reveal who they are.
What kind of work have you done with the Crescent City or Brookings Neighborhood Watch organizations?
Currently, we don't have a huge amount of people. I believe we are almost to 300. But my plans is when we get a little more people, we're kind of still starting out. We will end up doing more day watches and night watches. The way this will work is day watches is kind of more family friendly because everyone, it's daytime, everyone can see everything. So let's say you're out playing and you kind of are at the park with your friends and you kind of see this weird guy kind of scoping out kids at the playground. You know, you can actually do something such as call it in or, or just be out playing and walking the streets and you see someone being weird to someone's house, kind of like peeking in windows and stuff. I mean, this does happen day or night. So day watch will kind of be a scheduled thing every now and then, which anyone can do a Pokey Watch, which is what I call in the group where...
Pokey Watch, okay.
Yeah.
That's so your own invented term?
Yeah.
You're big time when you've got your own invented term.
So if you want to do a Pokey Watch, you can post in the group and say, hey, I want to do a Pokey Watch. There's something going on in my neighborhood generally around this time. If some players are out and about, maybe you can meet up around this area, walk down the road, make sure everything's fine. And that's kind of how we'll run. Night watches are a little different.
Okay.
I don't want any kids at night watches for obvious reasons, you know.
Kids being what age range?
At least under the age of 16.
Okay.
But anyone under the age of 18 at least has to have an adult in the group. But anyone under the age of 16, definitely don't want anyone coming.
On a night watch.
On a night watch, yeah, because I wouldn't want anyone accidentally getting hurt. And then what I'd do is I'd schedule a meetup somewhere and we would go out and we'll meet out there. And when we do kind of like separate each other into groups, I created an online chat room that will be monitored and we can figure out kind of where, what roads we will walk down, kind of like areas that we know at nighttime have break-ins or something. So once we split up, we'll figure out what sections kind of walk down different areas. And then after a certain time, if no one sees anything, you know, kind of just go do your own thing. If something does happen, definitely you already have your phone in the hand, call it in, post in the group, or post actually preferably in the chat room, because we wouldn't want to post where we're walking in case there is someone who's planning to do something and happens to see a group of people will be walking down this road, which can threaten those players' safety.
Sure. I see.
The same thing with day watches too, though. If someone's having issues in their area, such as their neighborhood, and like their neighbor's car keeps getting broken into, they can kind of say, hey guys, this area seems a little bit, you know, crime filled. Maybe you guys can take a walk down there sometime at this night and keep an eye on the area, and we'll put it on our list and go out and do it.
What kinds of rules have you set up for your watchers to follow?
No team bashing.
And what is team bashing for those of us who don't know?
It's kind of like, you know, football players, you know, you love this one team and then you kind of just mess with the rival teams and such. Well, Pokemon Go is the same aspect. There are three teams, Instinct, Mystic, and Valor. And in a lot of groups, if you're part of a different team, you know, kind of play banter and such, like playful banter with each other.
Sure.
But in my group, I want us to be united. I don't want us to be like, oh, hey, you're Team Mystic. Ha, ha, ha. Let's mess with you. So no team bashing. Basically, the same general rules of Pokemon. Don't walk into people's yards. Biggest thing is do not engage when you see something. Just make sure you're at a safe distance. Make sure you're not alone and call it in. Don't try to be a hero. You are not Officer Jenny. Definitely don't go out if you see someone breaking in the house. Don't go try to be a hero. Definitely just walk around the corner, call it in, and stay in a safe area. And, you know, be respectful to others around you. Don't go snooping into people's yards. And definitely don't go looking for trouble. Don't start poking at people on the side of the road, hoping that they'll start stuff so you can play the hero and things mm-hmm. like that.
Okay.
I want to strongly encourage people who are playing Pokemon Go to pick up their trash when they're in the area, to pay attention to their surroundings. I know how easy it can be when you're walking and you're looking at your phone, hoping that Pokemon that you're tracking pops up. Mm-hmm. But there is a way to avoid that. They just did an update to fix the battery saving usage or battery usage. And what happens is you flip it upside down, like in your pocket, mm-hmm. and it still runs the game and it will buzz or make a noise when something pops up. Mm-hmm. So definitely use that so you're not just staring at your phone, because there has been incidents where people will be walking and looking at their phone and walking to oncoming traffic, or someone, I believe, walked off a cliff.
Oh, my goodness.
Injured.
So look both ways before crossing the street. Yeah,
definitely look both ways. When I play, I pay attention to kind of where I am. I briefly hold my phone. I'll peek and I'll kind of put it in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm at a crosswalk, even when I'm at a crosswalk, I'll look both ways. Don't go into people's yards, as I've been saying multiple times. Definitely don't go into people's yards. That's a big thing. That's why people are so worried, you know, is are these kids going to show up in my yard? Are they going to mess with things? Are they going to move things around to look mm-hmm. for Pokemon? Because
the players doing that are not doing the right thing. They're not even playing the game correctly. Yeah, they're doing that sort of thing.
I believe people who are doing that are trying to use Pokemon as the excuse. I've seen some people who will say, oh, there was someone in my yard and mm-hmm. or my car was tampered with, and people will say, oh, maybe they're looking for Pokemon, because people who don't play seem to believe that Pokemon will appear anywhere, even in the house, which, as I mentioned before, doesn't happen. Be careful with your language around when you're in public, because I know there are a lot of adults who play, but there may be adults who bring their kids, including to public areas, mm-hmm. and I know how excited you can be and, you know, cuss or something if you miss a Pokemon. Definitely watch your language around other little kids. Watch how you're driving too. Even if you're driving slow, you can still accidentally hit something, or you can accidentally veer up onto the sidewalk if you're just staring at your phone.
Mm-hmm. I would suspect that an officer is not going to make a big distinction between you texting somebody and driving, or you playing a game while driving.
Yeah. Definitely don't play and drive at all, actually, because it's dangerous. The same thing as texting. If anything, mm-hmm. you're looking at the screen much longer.
Sure.
When I go out poke hunting with my boyfriend, he hands me my phone. I am the passenger. I'm the one who will pay attention to if he gets something or not. But there are some incidents where people are still driving and then they hear something and they have to look over at their passenger and see what's on their phone and veer into something else. So that's why I said, you know, even if you're driving slow, just don't look at your screen.
Sure.
Trust the passenger. Bring someone that you know has good reflexes if you're that worried. I've caught my boyfriend a couple good Pokemon, and it's fun having a new responsibility when you're sitting up front.
Please heed the warning that is on the Pokemon login screen. You will not just be putting yourself in danger, but people around you too.
Mm-hmm. Another way that Pokemon brought people back, including in the 90s, was I remember being young during a time where there was a lot of bullying, but no one really did much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon came out, and I went to school one day. I had my Pokemon game. I had my Pokemon cards. And recess came about, and I walk out, and there are patches of children playing the Pokemon trading card or playing Pokemon together, getting excited when they catch something. And before I know it, when I sat down to play with my own game, a group of people ended up coming around and playing with me, and they ended up becoming my friends. And I like to think that Pokemon Go created the same thing, because before you know it, you show up and you're outdoors, you're at the public park, and there are groups of adults who probably would have been kids back then doing the same thing. But it doesn't stop there either. I look over and Kidstown is filled with kids and their parents. The parents are playing a game, but they're not putting the game in front of their kid. They're also playing with their kids, or they put their phone down to push the kid on the swing and just be outside. I walked down the strip, down the beach, and there was people just group of people, young, old, and like, you know, in between, just enjoying the side of the beach and celebrating and jumping up and down when they caught something. I coincidentally caught a seal, which is a sea lion Pokemon, at the Marine Center as a seal was looking at me.
The Crescent City Marine Center?
Mm-hmm. That's another thing. A lot of people have been going to the Marine Center, and hopefully that will do some good for them. Maybe more people will be willing to donate or even, you know, try to just help the workers or something. I don't know.
But Pokemon has always brought people together. There may have been a time frame in their games where they, you know, people kind of just played indoors. I think that happened to be when you could just go online and battle people. But there is a time where the only way you can battle a friend was you had to meet up with them in person and use a cord and connect your game systems together to battle each other. And that's what I like to think this game does now, is you actually have to go out and do the same thing. And it brings people together, and everyone has a childhood with it. And whether people like it or not, these younger kids that are growing up through this time of Pokemon are going to have a childhood with it too. And Pokemon's going to be around for a really, really long time, because they'll remember the days that they were on the playground playing Pokemon.
Clearly it's shown its staying power in your life.
Something also that we should probably clarify for people that don't really know much about Pokemon is, in the Pokemon Go, we're not battling over one Pokemon. When a Pokemon spawns in an area, everybody is free to catch it. It's not a first come, first serve, so there's no fighting about that. And again, you know, a lot of people will start mentioning, this Pokemon's over here, and really helping each other out.
Yeah, I remember the first day I went out to play Pokemon, and there was a Pikachu in the area, and everyone was really excited, and a group of like 20 people went running one direction because someone found a Pokemon down there, and people were high-fiving each other when they actually caught it, and being like, yay, we caught it, and then people like tapping each other on the shoulder when the Pokemon ran away and they couldn't catch it. It was a nice environment.
So can two people see the same Pokemon in this augmented reality world?
Yep. And what's fun is, if you have your augmented reality turned on, you can kind of generally see it wherever you're standing. It doesn't always pop up in the same place on each phone. But I don't have mine turned on because my phone isn't that fancy. So if your augmented reality doesn't work in the game, it generates a background that has like wind blowing trees and a lot of cool background stuff, and it senses when it's day and night, which is pretty cool.
So you can turn the augmented reality off and not see the real world, and then you see an animated background.
Yeah.
Doesn't that background also change depending on where you are and what time it is too?
Yeah, when it gets a little closer to night, it'll like go darker and then it'll turn to nighttime, and it doesn't totally change the background, but like what I noticed is sometimes when it's a little more windier, you'll see the leaves in the background kind of shake a little more.
Oh.
Because pretty soon those wristbands will be sensing how fast the wind is going by Google Weather, I believe, because Google helps with this. And it'll also affect how your ball is thrown. And if it's like really windy going to the right side, your ball's going to go a little more to the right.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be pretty cool. I can't wait to get my own wristband.
So these wristbands, could you tell me a little bit more about them?
Yeah, they kind of are shaped like a Pokeball, but on Google Maps, you know, the little pin thing, they're shaped like that, but they have a Pokeball on it.
And we'll include an image of a Pokeball in our article as well, but just for our viewers, could you describe what a Pokeball looks like?
It's round, and the top half is red, and the bottom half is white, and then it has the opening in the middle, which is usually like a black strip, and then a white button in the middle that you tap, and it pops open.
That's a perfect description.
But yeah, these wristbands are pretty neat.
Who's selling the wristbands?
I believe on Pokemon Go's official website, you can get them there. Right now, they are released, but they are kind of in high demand, and they're kind of spendy right now, so I'm going to wait a bit till the price goes down.
How much do they cost?
I haven't looked, but I'm guessing it's going to be in the $50 to $100 range, including with how big this game is right now. So Pokemon Go has been helping local businesses.
How so?
Well, just a few days ago, the bowling alley ended up letting Pokemon Go players rent it out for a couple hours till about midnight. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of people were sitting there and they kept lighting off lures to let people catch more Pokemon if they weren't playing a game, which they discounted for $2, which is pretty nice. As far as I know, there in a few more days, I forgot the date, the library in Crescent City will be playing some of the older Pokemon movies. So because Pokemon Go is a thing, they're reaching out to Pokemon players and it's bringing in more traffic of people for their businesses and it's good for advertisement and it's good for the players too. People get to enjoy themselves in playing a game of bowling, you know, maybe be in the library and movie's over and find a book that they're interested in. So
how can local businesses get involved with the game?
If you are a player and, you know, maybe your boss is pretty cool, maybe talk to your boss about maybe doing discounts such as Dutch Bros. Once a week, they released different discounts for different teams, such as Instinct, Mystic, and Valor. Some restaurants can maybe do discounts, like if you caught a certain Pokemon, or if you caught a certain amount of Pokemon, or whatever level you are, you can get this discount on this thing, and it'll bring in more people to...
It doesn't just have to be discounts, too. They can just drop lures, and that will definitely attract people trying to get all the Pokemon that they can.
If another thing they can do is they can, like, drop lures, and more people will just show up and go, oh, there's a lure over here, and be there for half an hour, happen to be in the area. Oh, hey, that place is open. Let's go grab a smoothie. And it'll bring more people to their businesses.
I see. Intermission music was created by the host, Dane Tittman, using Automata from www.earslap.com.
Hey, welcome back. You are listening to an interview about Pokemon Go with me, Alea Lin, and my best friend, Akima.
So tell me about Pokemon Go cheating.
It is all over the news right now that the company is going to be banning people who they find out are cheating. The ways people have been cheating is they'll download a program that apparently will figure out where the Pokemon are going to be, which is creating problems for the company's servers, which is why the game constantly crashes. It will try to access the company's servers to figure out where the Pokemon will generate, which is slowing everything down. So the company had hit a lot of these programs, but people are continuously still making them. Because of this, the company is banning people. Another ways people are cheating is people have figured out if you move your phone fast enough, it'll generate your character's walking. So they've been strapping them to their ceiling fans. And because this became so popular, someone actually did it and it slid off and it hit her straight in the head, causing a concussion and a huge goose egg on her forehead.
Her phone did?
Yeah, the phone did. People have been strapping them to chickens. And doing a lot of crazy things. The most crazy.
So what's the benefit of the phone moving around if you're not there to catch the Pokemon that you see?
The benefit from that is when you're moving around, it senses how long you're walking, and it'll hatch an egg. So
hatch
that's
an
why
egg.
People.
So tell me about eggs. We haven't talked about eggs yet.
Oh, okay. The whole point of the eggs is they want you out walking. And in the games before Pokemon Go, you would have to ride your bike or walk around the map before an egg would catch.
In the old Game Boy games that we talked about?
So they did the same thing in this game where they want you to physically go ride your bike or go walk, and it'll hatch a Pokemon for you. It can be something really cool, like a Porygon, like my friend just hatched recently. Or a Pidgey, which everyone gets really disappointed about because it's not that strong of a Pokemon.
So an egg is another virtual item in the game that is hatched by you walking around. Mm-hmm. And then you get a Pokemon that hatches out of the egg.
And what's cool is each egg will have different amount of kilometers or miles you're supposed to walk. There's a 2-kilometer egg, a 5-kilometer egg, and I believe the higher level you are, you'll get a 10-kilometer egg. Hmm. And when you go out and you walk all those kilometers, you'll actually have the egg hatch for you, and it can be something better or something lame.
Oh.
It's kind of a randomly chosen one. Hmm. But the fact is you went out and you actually walked and you did all that exercise to catch them. Mm-hmm. Or you could have cheated and drove really slow, which that kind of ruins the purpose.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's against the spirit of the game, which is to get out there and adventure.
Yeah. Mm. And definitely don't do the microwave thing. It's been all over the internet.
What microwave thing do you mean?
People have said, oh, to catch an egg, put your phone in the microwave and put it on the timer and it'll turn the phone.
Ugh.
And it'll make Ugh. The phone think you're walking. And oh, there boy. Has actually been people who fell for this and ruined their phones. So mm-hmm. if you think that it's true, definitely don't do it. It is not true.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What are some of your favorite Pokemon then?
My favorite Pokemon is Ninetales, because foxes are awesome. Vulpix, which evolves into Ninetales. I like Cubone, who is a Pokemon who wears the skull of his dead mother. Very morbid, I know.
Oh, supposedly.
Supposedly. It's like a theory, but...
Pokemon lure or lore.
Lore, yeah.
Ah, game lore.
There's a lot of backstories to each one of these Pokemon that makes them even cooler. Mm-hmm. I definitely like Mew, and because Mew is just really cute, and Mewtwo.
Mm-hmm.
Mewtwo is very strong, and I remember being a kid when Blockbuster still existed.
Mm-hmm.
And every Saturday, my grandma would take me out to go choose a movie, like all of us grandkids go choose a movie. I would always choose the Pokemon movies, up to the point, every time I would go there, the staff would see me and actually just pull the Pokemon movie in front for me to pick which one to pick that day.
You're a known customer then.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I kind of miss Blockbuster for that now. That's like my first gen favorites, which is what I grew up with. There are a couple other Pokemon that have been out that I kind of like, such as Yawmask. The background to that one is pretty interesting. It's supposed to be the spirit of a human.
Mm-hmm.
And it carries around a mask of who it used to be. Oh. It's pretty dark and kind of spooky. And that's what I like about Pokemon is it has happy, fun-filled characters. And it kind of has some bittersweet, sad characters. And through the stories, is you get to learn about these creatures and about their stories of their own and create like a little relationship with them and care about them.
Oh, wow.
It is also fantastic how even though the Pokemon don't speak, they give them such a personality, and like Pikachu has such a strong personality, which is probably why it's the main character, as compared to like how Misty from the Pokemon series carries around a Togepi, and it has like a light, shy personality.
There is a Pokemon who does talk, though, through the whole series, is Meowth, and he is very wisecracking, and I've been rewatching the old show, and he does say a lot of puns, and his whole entire personality is he's kind of like, he's not a bad guy like Team Rocket is portrayed. He's kind of just this fun-loving, goofy character, but yet he's kind of a mastermind, too. He has like this whole interesting personality that kids have grown up and to love about him.
How can someone join your Facebook group if they want to join it?
Just go to Facebook and search up Catch 'Em All Pokemon Neighborhood Watch and you'll find it. Or there are a couple local groups for Pokemon that I am actually, as far as I know, I joined all the main popular ones. You can just ask and I'll add you.
How much does this game cost?
It doesn't cost anything. There are...
Oh, it's got to cost something. How do they make their money?
Well, there are a thing... There is some things in there that you can buy, but as a Pokemon Go player, I've never had to spend a penny on it.
What kinds of things can you buy in the game?
Let's say you want more lures. You can go and get lures at Pokestops. You can go get a bunch of things at Pokestops, but it's randomly generated for you.
Mm.
But if you're kind of an impatient person and you don't want to go out your door that day and go walk a long strip to go capture, to go get Pokestops, then you can just go on to their shop and buy different supplies. But I've never had to use it because I actually go outside.
Oh. Can you buy Pokemon in the game?
No, you can't. As far as I mean, they may do that eventually. It wouldn't be a bad idea marketing wise, but I doubt people will really do it unless they just really, really want that Pokemon and never could find it.
It would kind of ruin their whole game and what they were trying to go with, which is getting people outside, getting them socializing and just having fun and admiring what you actually have in your town and around you.
Do you have to have a data plan to play the game?
Yes, you do. What I do is I have a Samsung Galaxy Core Prime. It plays the game. It has 4.4 on it.
Android 4.4?
Yes. It has. It plays the game even though it doesn't have the fancy augmented reality, but it still works. I got it through Straight Talk for $30, which is pretty nice for a phone, including a smartphone.
And what is Straight Talk?
Straight Talk is a company that runs off of Verizon Towers. So, like, you'll still get the same coverage as Verizon, but what's nice is you're not held down by a contract. So, every month I spend $45 and I'll have unlimited data. And playing the game, I haven't even used a full gigabyte of data when I get up to like 5 gigabytes of data before it slows down.
That's impressive.
And for $45 and then like spending an extra $30 for just the phone, it's totally worth it. But there are people out there who have, you know, Verizon or are locked into contracts, and you definitely do need data to run it. You can play it on Wi-Fi, but it really limits you where you can go. If you happen to live next to a Pokestop, then, you know, it's fine, but you're kind of strapped down in the area. Or you'll have to go to public places that have public Wi-Fi in order to play, but
sure.
You don't get to go out with your friends as they go on an adventure or travel somewhere to the beach or go on a long walk, and you're kind of strapped in one area. So definitely get a data plan.
Wouldn't you say you're still strapped then to the coverage of those cell towers out there?
Actually, no. Even out here, I still have... I'm from Crescent City. So even out here, I still have pretty good coverage. In this area, as far as I know, Verizon is really popular, and U.S. Cellular, I think, kind of generate off of some of the same towers, so it, no matter what type of plan you have, you're covered, as long as you're not using Sprint, which I know doesn't cover around here very well.
Depending on your plan, you can also go to remote places, like a lot of places, or a lot of the coverage plans have trouble with Gasky. But there are still a few stops up there, and you still can get a little bit of the Pokemon experience up there.
And what I like about Straight Talk is I can go even out into the woods and go to the river, and I'll still have like at least half amount of bars than usual and still be able to call out and everything. The game runs slight bit slower, but still runs.
And Akima, what are your favorite Pokemon?
Well, most of my favorite Pokemon are from other gens, because right now with the main Pokemon craze, it's only from Gen 1, so I'm going to try to stick to that.
And what is Gen? What do you mean?
Every now and then, the Pokemon people will release a new generation, a new set of Pokemon. Like, the first one was 1 to 151 Pokemon. And then they try to stick around that number.
Every generation.
Yeah.
Now there is over 700 once the newest game releases in a few months.
So your favorites are those, or some that aren't necessarily in Gen 1?
Yeah. Like Espeon. Like, Espeon's definitely my favorite Pokemon. But Eevee, how their reason for Eevee is it has a complex arrangement of chemicals, and its body is constantly changing and adapting. So whenever it evolves, as compared to most Pokemon, they evolve and they only evolve into one thing. Eevee can't evolve into, at the beginning, it was only three Pokemon. Vaporeon, which is water, Jolteon, which is the electric, and Flareon, that is fire. And now it has up to 7 different evolvals that are all different types.
7 different evolutions, wow.
Yes.
And what's Espeon?
Espeon is a psychic one. When Eevee evolves during the day, it transforms into that one, and then its counterpart, Umbreon, which when it transforms during night, and it's a dark-type Pokemon.
Hmm. Is Espeon like a play on ESP?
Or extrasensory,
extrasensory perception? Oh, okay. Hmm.
Yeah, that's actually quite interesting. I could see that.
I'll bet money.
It is a very...
I don't know how much money, but I bet money.
It's probably something that exists, but no one really thought about.
Also with Espeon, it is a very loyal Pokemon. It's the Pokedex entry, which is in like the Pokemon shows or what the characters of Pokemon have released to give you data or information about the Pokemon,
mm-hmm.
like where it's located, its weight, height, all of that, in its Pokedex entry, which varies from game to game, but most of the time it will list that it is so loyal to its trainer that if it feels the connection to you and loves you, it will develop psychic powers to guard you. And the more danger you are in, the more its psychic powers will develop and be able to protect you.
Hmm.
And there are a lot of Pokemon with just different Pokedex entries that are really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the lore comes from, is the Pokedex entries.
Hmm.
It also bases around where they come from to, kind of like their area, or even what type they are, and then they base it off of a background.
Hmm. I see.
Yeah, kind of like with a longtime favorite, I'm sure a lot of people will agree with me, is Charmander, one of the starting Pokemon. According to its Pokedex entry, if the flame on its tail goes out, it actually dies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually a part of a huge story arc in the Pokemon universe for a while. And it really showed, like, the connection of the Pokemon to the trainer in the show.
Hmm. Akima, what tips do you have for players of Pokemon Go?
Well, basically, main thing I would have to say is read what it says when you log in. Stay safe. Don't Pokemon go and drive. Don't Pokemon drink and drive, even though that's not one of them. Stay in lit areas, and please just try to stay safe, try to keep people safe around you, and be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, like, just areas like a graveyard. Yes, you should always be respectful, even if you're not playing Pokemon Go, but areas like also a public park, you know, clean up after yourself, and please mind the people around you.
So, I am a... artist. I am a digital artist. I have been drawing Pokemon every Mondays. So every Monday is going to be Pokemon Monday. I will ask people who follow me what Pokemon I should draw that day, and the most suggested Pokemon, I'll go ahead and draw it. I like to draw it in my own style. I don't want to make it look exactly mm-hmm. like Pokemon. I like doing a little bit more of the realism with it. The one I just recently did was Charizard, and it took me 6 hours because I was individually drawing every scale on him.
Oh, gee whiz.
Sadly, it didn't turn out as fancy on a mobile phone because it dims down the quality, but if you're looking at it through a computer, you'll see the scales.
And you do these drawings live before an audience?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that like, drawing with a live audience?
Yeah, it's kind of it makes me a little nervous. I don't have all that great acoustics in my tiny little trailer, so I try not to talk. I kind of just play background sounds or background music
mm-hmm.
While I'm doing it, so if people actually hit play, they're not just listening to dead silence.
Mm.
But the last time I did a Pokemon and drew it, I got up to 1,000 viewers, which made me really excited.
Mm.
And a lot of people were really... into it. They actually didn't just watch for 10 seconds because Facebook will tell me how long someone's watched something.
Uh-huh.
They kind of sat there through the whole thing, even though it took 6 hours, and kept complimenting me as an artist. And because I did that, I decided, why don't I just do this every Monday?
Where do you sell your artwork?
I currently am not selling any art right now, but I will be selling prints soon. I'm in the process of kind of figuring out the whole art business.
Mm-hmm.
I have been doing digital art for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I started out 10 years ago with only a mouse and MS Paint,
mm-hmm.
and I worked my way up over the years, so I'm still in the process of figuring out where I should go with this, but for now, if you're a Pokemon lover like I am, and you want to see me draw your favorite Pokemon, just kind of go to my page, tell me what one to draw, and I'll draw it.
All right.
And then you do draw more than Pokemon, too.
Yeah, I draw every day of the week. I'm kind of figuring out what themes to do. I haven't totally figured out much, except for Fridays. I'll do fan art Fridays, where I'll draw something that I'm a fan of.
Uh-huh.
She just recently drew a realistic guinea pig drawing that a lot of people also viewed that and just thought...
Yeah, I am. I'm a bit of a guinea pig nut. I have two guinea pigs. One's name is Finn. The other one's name is Nibbler. They are incredibly spoiled. They live in a 5-foot dog kennel that I've customized to be a guinea pig cage. They have two different levels that they can run up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a 9-foot run outside. So they are awfully spoiled, and I love guinea pigs so much, and I've actually considered drawing my guinea pigs as Pokemon characters.
You think your love for guinea pigs has contributed to Pokemon, or the other way around?
Actually, I've always loved guinea pigs, and I have always imagined a few Pokemon were kind of inspired on the guinea pig body, such as Nidoran. It kind of looks a bit more like a guinea pig, but with long cat-like ears.
Mm-hmm.
Even Pikachu kind of has a guinea pig body, but with long gated ears and such. So,
Does a Bidoof count, or is that more like a more like a beaver?
Yeah, he's a little more like a beaver. And if you ever end up liking my page, you will end up seeing pictures of my guinea pig or my cockatiel, kind of little videos of them eating and making little squeak-squeak sounds, or my cockatiel being silly. And prepare for cute animals. Just like Pokemon, they're all a bunch of cute animals, too. I love real-life cute animals as well.
And then occasionally a video of my little corgi dog.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for listening. This is KCIW. I would like to give a brief shout out before we go to all my members in the group and all the members in our community that plays Pokemon Go. Thank you for being so supportive and being so creating amazing possibilities with this game by just being you. So please remember to don't trespass, listen to all the rules on the game, and be respectful to others, and most of all, have fun. Good night.
Thank you all.
Intro and outro music for this program was provided by musician Corey A.G. at www.coreyagmusic.tk. His SoundCloud is Corey A.G.1.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.